Oh, good evening, Gus, and to Mr. Fuller. The question is, how should us who practice codification or counter-racist logic in the marketplace deal with other black people that may not agree with it? And in your opinion and experience, why would other black folks not agree with codification? And I'll take my answer over the air. Thank you.
Well, because most suggestions coming from a black person about what to do about racism fall on deaf ears, and for a very logical reason. No black person has figured out what to do about it. Or for that matter, no white person who says that they're trying to figure it out. So you approach everybody with skepticism. And that's healthy. That should be. In other words, there are black people who say, well, all the rest of these black people should shut up because I got the solution. Well now, you can say to that black person, including me, if you got the solution, if I say I got the solution, you should say, that's impossible. Why? Because if Neely Fuller has the solution to the race problem, how can anyone else have the problem? See, solutions mean you have done it, not you're trying to do it, trying to figure it out, because that's the only thing that I claim. I'm trying to figure out what to do about white supremacy. Now, once I figure it out, and I know that I figured it out, we won't be having this conversation, because white supremacy will no longer exist. That's the only proof that a person is even an advanced student of the system of racism. Because either you have it or you don't. Either you have racism or you don't. The only experts, according to the code, on white supremacy are the white supremacists themselves. They're the only people who know what they are doing and how they are doing it, and successful at it. The most successful business that the world has ever seen. The most successful means of mistreating people that the world has ever seen. So I don't know of anybody other than the white supremacists who know right down to the finest detail how they go about doing it. That's what I'm trying to learn. That's why I always tell people I'm still learning. I will be learning. I will die still trying to learn if it hasn't been done. But that's my job. That's the way I see it, according to logic. I'm supposed to be solving problems. And if I never solve the problem, well, so be it. But that's what I'm put here for, to solve problems. The system of racism is the biggest problem on the planet. So why not go for the biggest problem on the planet to try to solve it, even if you don't solve it? So what? Why start with a small problem when you can say, I'm going to take on the biggest problem and see if I can eliminate that problem and replace it with something that's not a problem, like justice? Why not? Why not go for the top prize, since you got to spend time on this planet anyway? You might as well be doing something that's the biggest job, whether you succeed or not. That's what I think that I was given time to do. I think all people should be in the business of problem solving, and the biggest problem, according to the evidence, is the problem of racism, because people seem to be, you know, it's enough people to solve all other kind of problems. I mean, there's different diseases come and go and whatnot. Malaria, diphtheria, and things like that. You know, they hang around a long time. But sooner or later, somebody figures out how to solve them. But nobody has stepped forward and says, I know how to solve the race problem, and then prove that they know. Lots of people talk loosely and say, I got the solution. but you don't see the solution. They're making a claim before they have proven their claim. I make no such claim. Why? Because this is a business. When you're in a business, you're supposed to show the profit, not just talk about theoretically what the profit would be. You got to be able to actually do it. I haven't done it. I don't know anybody who has. And I think that's why these conversations continue, like they should, until somebody comes up with the formula and actually pulls it off. Otherwise, you keep going to the drawing board. And that's not supposed to stop. Now, why is it that white supremacy is the thing that I'm saying that everybody should be concentrating on as the thing to eliminate? It's because that's the biggest problem. That's the main thing. You can't solve all those other problems without solving it. You've got 9 areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. The white supremacists are the biggest problem in each one of those areas of activity: religion, labor, education, economics, the use of time and energy and whatnot, sex. You can't solve any of these problems. Anybody got a labor problem? Anybody has a political problem? They can't solve any of those problems without dealing with the white supremacists. And the white supremacist says, oh, I'm going to be practicing mistreatment of non-white people worldwide, indefinitely. Now, what problem are you going to solve without coming past me? Because most of the people on this planet are non-white. So whatever problem you're trying to solve, whomever you are, you have to deal with the white supremacists. Now, I think the other part of the question was, what about the black people who don't help? That's why the code that I have written, the compensatory code, is called the United Independent Code, where you don't look around to see who's going to help and who's not. You just do what you can do. Everything is tailored to you as an individual. What you say and what you do on a daily basis. That's what codification is about. Whether anybody else is around or not, even to give you an encouraging word. In fact, you get away from the habit of even looking for someone who will even say anything nice to you, ever, when you're doing this kind of work. Because when things get real hostile, most likely you will find yourself alone anyway. So you get in the habit of operating alone. That's why it's called the United Independent Compensatory Code. You don't look around to see if you got a big army with you, or you got a cheering squad, or you got an amen corner, like we have in many churches where people just nod. Everything that you say, they say amen. They agree with it. Now, that works. In many religions and in many political things, it works. It doesn't work in counter-racism. And if you get to the place where you think you can depend on that, then you have defeated yourself before you even start. The United Independent System means that emphasis is on independent. Theoretically, you are supposed to be united with everybody who believes in counter-racism. But when the going gets hot, you're going to find yourself alone, and you have to know how to function alone. In fact, you should practice that every day, wherever you are. Don't look around for your friends, because your friends may cop out. Your friends even might become your enemies when the going gets hot. Depend on that, too. So you make your plans accordingly. How do I function when I'm by myself? Just me. Me and my little brain. And nothing else. to go on. But me and my little brain and the messages that I get from whatever created me. And that's all I have except a code of thought, speech, and action. And bits and pieces of that might come from anywhere, not just from Neely Fuller. Try to come up with some bits and pieces of your own. The bits and pieces that you get from Neely Fuller, you can say you got this from Neely Fuller, and you should. But there should be some bits and pieces that you come up on your own. Otherwise, you're saying to the world that you are dependent on someone else to do all of the thinking. You have to do some thinking of your own. And if you get in the habit of thinking about that on a daily basis, when problems come up, you ask questions about how you can solve that problem. You ask yourself these questions after you ask everybody else, and they don't seem to come up with answers. Then you ask yourself these questions. And it's something about the nature of the universe that a question has a way of, the answer, rather, to a question has a way of finding itself to the source of the question. I think that's why inventions are made. People who invent things, people who invent a lot of things, they start with a question. And I think that the way the universe, and this is just a theory of the mind, might be a theory also that other people have. If it's a sound theory, it will be a theory that other people have too. Because this is the universe. And one is two for everybody. But that theory is, when you put a question out there, just in your own mind, the answer starts gravitating toward you because you are the source of the question. And I think people, great inventors, understand that principle. They don't have the answer, but they keep asking the question, even of themselves, when they're walking alone. I mean, this, you know, they might just lay the question aside sometime, get tired of asking the question, even if the person is asking it of him or herself. They just get tired. But then they come back to it, say, I still need an answer to this question. And you keep putting that question out there. Just keep putting it out there. Somewhere out there, as the song says, the answer to that question starts coming to you. Like a magnet. Why? Because you are the person that keeps asking the question. That's the theory, and I think there's a lot to be said for it. At least, everybody who's listening to me now can think about it. Because it just might work. I'd like to say this in addition to that. You ever think about this? People say many times, I just thought of something. Now, ask yourself this question. Where was that thought before you got it? Somewhere out there. The reason you got it is because you were thinking about having it. And you pulled it in. And usually it's in the form of a question. That thought that you had. You were trying to figure something out. And after about 40 days and 40 nights, it just came to you, sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, when your mind is clear, and you suddenly wake up with that thought. I know there's somebody out there, maybe, who has had that happen to them, because it certainly happened to me. 3 o'clock in the morning, at a time when you are really asleep and you really want to sleep, and all of a sudden, the answer to a question that you have been pondering during the day, day after day, with all the noise around you, and you couldn't come up with an answer, and it came to you at 3 o'clock in the morning out of nowhere. Just like that. Just eased into your mind. And you almost ask yourself, where did that come from? Came from the getting place. Where do all ideas come from? Whatever created your mind, maybe. Did I answer the question more or less? Hello, is anybody out there?